Re'e today. The title of the message is Re'e today. Re'e is the Hebrew word that is the Torah portion. It is typically transliterated in English R apostrophe E-H, Re'e. And the word today is English, T-O-D-A-Y. You're welcome, Dennis. Behold, look, see. Deuteronomy 11:26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. So, the reason why I titled it Re'e today is that I will attempt to take the word that begins this portion, Re'e, and apply it to those of us who are gathered here today. The word means see. It has nothing to do with having good eyesight. No one can see a blessing or a curse. Later on, it could take on that meaning, perhaps, after they cross the Jordan into the land, and they're commanded to put, in this Torah portion, they're commanded to put the blessing on one mountain and a curse on the other mountain. Maybe you could see something. I don't know what you would see when you put a blessing on a mountain or a curse on a mountain, but maybe you could see that with your eyes. So this is not only about what you see with your eyes. Shall we look at the context? The Lord, through Moses, has been talking about the blessings of keeping the commandments. In fact, the section of Scripture immediately prior to this Torah portion is included in the Shema. If you were to look into a siddur and you have the Shema, you know, Shema Israel, Adonai, Nevi Ahavta, right? Right after that, you would find it in the siddur. It's also included in the mezuzah. If you have a mezuzah on your doorpost, that this scripture about keeping the commandments right before this Torah portion, Deuteronomy 11, is found in the mezuzah. So one conclusion we can draw is that God wants His people to be blessed. We heard Maria give a very good testimony of that in the Torah talk. I hope you all were listening. He wants us to be blessed. He wants His people to comprehend the consequences of obedience and disobedience. Hashem went into significant detail so that His people would understand. He's wooing them to a life of obedience. He wants to use His people as a testimony to the nations. When the nations see their obedience and the fruit of their obedience, the blessings that come as a result of their obedience, then they will acknowledge how great their God is. This is the key to the blessing of the nations, that they would want the same blessing and that they would turn to Israel to find out how to receive a blessing from the God of Israel. This is a principle of blessing, blessing through knowing. It's a topic of my message. God wants us to see today. We're not supposed to be ignorant of our purpose as individuals, as families, and as a congregation. But how can we know? Hashem used Moses to prepare the people to cross the Jordan River to enter the promised land. He told them what to expect there. He told them how to respond to the challenges that they would find there. And He warned them about the consequences of sin and idolatry. None of these things apply to us today. Well, we're not crossing the Jordan River for the first time. We're not looking for a place to build a temple and to offer sacrifices. The times have changed. The world has changed. I believe that today's leaders need two things. They need to know the plan of God, and they need to hear His voice. Moses was a reluctant leader. He wasn't seeking God's voice. He wasn't studying to know God's plan. He had tested those waters when he was 40 years old and he had failed. He stopped trying to save his people from slavery, and he fled Egypt to preserve his life. He ran away and hid. When he finally heard God's voice, he was 80 years old. How many people can qualify? You don't have to raise your hand. I don't qualify. I'm not 80 years old. So I haven't even gotten to that place. None of us can ever become a leader like Moses. He was a specially appointed leader for a specific purpose and a specific time. The whole history of the Jewish people began when they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. They took the bones of Joseph with them when they left. They carried them until they could rejoin his bones with the bones of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If the book of Exodus is the story of the birth of the Jewish people, Deuteronomy is the story of the future of the Jewish people. Much of what was predicted in Deuteronomy has already come to pass. The people did fall into idolatry. God did chastise his people and exile them from the land. God did send a prophet like Moses. The religious leaders consistently rejected the messengers sent by God to turn the hearts of the people back to him. And now, after nearly 2,000 years, we're back in the land, not living under Torah, not with Messiah enthroned, trying to defend our right to exist when even some Jews don't even think we have a right to exist as a nation. The Jewish Messiah has been stripped of his Jewish identity and made palatable to the nations so that they can accept him as their king without having to accept the role of the Jewish people in the plan of God. Christianity became a replacement for Israel and Judaism, taking upon itself all the blessings of God that were intended for Israel and leaving nothing for the Jewish people. And now, Islam is a replacement. That's what they believe. The Jews failed, so God sent Jesus. Jesus failed, so God sent Muhammad. That is what they believe. And the Muslims are now prepared to bring the wrath of God upon the heathen who reject Allah. And there are no boundaries for the sword of Allah. It may strike anywhere at any time, striking fear into the hearts of the heathen and of the faithful alike. We haven't yet seen what the Asians might do. Some have turned to Christ. Many have become Muslim. Asian governments are testing the United States to see where our weaknesses are. Where our weaknesses are. In my view, two of them are running for president. Now, that's the only political statement I'll make. But the cyber attacks that come from China are really just fishing expeditions to find out where we are vulnerable. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn points out, accurately in my view, that the two nations on earth that were founded in the name of the God of Israel are the objects of scrutiny, attack, criticism, and scorn from every other nation, the United States and Israel. There's a Talmudic discussion that concludes that the first 2,000 years of mankind was the age of the patriarchs. The second 2,000 years of mankind was the age of the law. The third 2,000 years of mankind was the age of the Gentiles. And the last 1,000 years will be the age of the Messiah. This coming Rosh Hashanah begins the year 5777. Whoa, three sevens in a row there. I actually was exposed to a teaching at one point, I'd like to go back and look this up, that said that the Jewish calendar could be off by 240 years, which would make this coming year, if it is off, 6017. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at that. But it means that we're very close to the age of the Messiah. We're very near the age of the Messiah. So my earlier statement about leadership, knowing the plan of God and hearing his voice, leads me to ask this question. If we are living in a transitional time, not crossing the Jordan River per se, but crossing perhaps from one age into another, what do we need to know from Scripture, and what is the prophetic voice of God telling us to do? A congregation is a place for joining families together for discipleship and work in building the kingdom of God. We want our congregation to be a safe place for our children and for us. We want to know that our children are being taught the things that will equip them as they become adults. We want to grow in our own faith. We want to build a testimony that will draw those who are being called to join us. To some extent, being a safe, healthy place for our families does draw those who need that for their families. So if we focus on being safe and on being healthy, we are reaching out to those whom God is calling. At the same time, our mission is not a safe mission, in the sense that we are called to lay down our lives for something that is being birthed sometime in the future. I remember from the Tales of Narnia, one of the characters who first met the lion, Aslan, who was a character who symbolized God and Yeshua, and said, is he safe? And the answer was, no, he's not safe. He's a lion, but he's good. So, all the forces of our adversary will be against us. He will trouble our leaders. He will shortchange our finances. He will demolish our meeting place, attack our flanks with illness, deceive us, and act treacherously toward us. We will be betrayed by those whom we thought were with us. We will feel powerless and be tempted to lose faith in our mission. In this sense, we are not a safe place. And we never can be. Our only safety is in preparing ourselves and our offspring for warfare. We must steel our hearts against the whispers and the shouts of our adversaries. We must train ourselves to press on, even when it seems that nothing will deliver us. We must practice hearing the voice of God. He is our strong tower. We must rebuild the gates, I'm speaking symbolically, so that we can withstand the attacks when they come. We must prepare cisterns, again symbolically, for the times of drought and when the enemy dries up the streams around us. But protecting ourselves also means replacing ourselves. When we become too old to continue, that's around the age of 120 for most of us. When sickness takes us out of commission, where are the young people who will pick up our weapons and carry on? What are we doing to prepare for the time when Jewish people everywhere will begin to ask about Yeshua? Are we ready to show them a testimony of a faithful Jewish life that reflects our Messiah and what it looks like to place him back on his throne? Are we prepared to proclaim and teach the course corrections that are needed for the larger body of Messiah, the church, the people who need to know that Jesus is Jewish, that Israel has a continuing role in God's plan, that the Torah has value and application for non-Jewish followers of Yeshua? So we need to know where we are going. We need to hear his voice. Are you studying to show yourself approved? In other words, do you see God's plan for this time and this people? Do you see? Are you listening for the voice of Ruach Elohim, his Spirit dwelling in us and with us to show us the way? Are we sharpening our listening and obeying skills? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you are in unbelief, repent. Allow the Spirit to soften your heart toward God. Though the warfare is enjoined, the place of rest is in knowing that you are in the will of God. It is time to cease from our works and to do the will of God. And I will end with this scripture from Hebrews 4. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Amen. Elders, come forward, please.